And take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 9. This will be the last of the messages about service. And we've gone over how to do that, why you should do that. I think that you understand why you need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if nothing else, Romans 12, 1 and 2 should make you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's done it all for us, amen. I mean, there's nothing that the Lord has not done for us. So we certainly have a debt with him, and service is how we pay it. But this one is the lesson this morning is entitled Plowing Hope. And if we'll look together at verse 10, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or saith he it altogether for our sakes no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now, we're going to go through the first few verses of this, but a lot of times we feel like serving God is a thankless job. And I've heard that statement. As a matter of fact, I've made that statement, that serving God is a thankless job, and serving like in the bus ministry is a thankless job, and serving the Lord in any capacity, picking up trash, scrubbing the bathrooms. There were people here last night real late cleaning the church house. And cleaning the...
Let's get him saved. And praise the Lord. I don't see people saved all the time. I think Bethel had the opportunity to have their hands in, I want to say it's 15 people over this last week that got saved. I don't know who led them, I couldn't care less than the Lord, I'm just glad I got led. So you got 15 people, but here's what you also have. You have 15 people that need discipleship. And it's easy. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad you said the prayer. I'm so glad you can repent. I don't care. Go all the way you want. Repent. They had everything right there on the porch or whatever, wherever you were. Praise the Lord. And then we walk away. And churches all across America do that. They walk away and they get the numbers of how many got saved and how many got in the church.
That's right.
I understand not everybody's going to come in the church. I understand that. And the Lord fills the building. Okay? But the Lord does use our efforts. I got to be honest with you, not many people that get saved from house to house visitation end up ever darkening your doors. I understand that. But the ones that do come to this church, we need to make sure that they get taught.
Yes.
We need to make sure that we welcome them in to teach them. And they may not be where you are, but we need to follow through that someday they will be. We need to make sure, like this young man just got saved, we make sure that his life goes in the direction, as church people, goes in the direction that God would want him to go in. Because on his own, he's not going to be able to do it. I had help all throughout my life, people steering me, helping me to study the Bible, helping me to learn what it says. Serve God in hope that that still works. Serve God in hope that we can help people to continue to learn. I dare say that you that have been here intermediate, just intermediate folks, been here for years or whatever, 2-3 years. I dare say that you know more about the Bible today than you ever knew about the Bible back when you first came. Because you need to be discipled. You need to be taught. Now, listen to this. It's amazing to me how people feel that they're not getting discipled, not getting used, and yet as church service. Amen? It's amazing to me. Let's have Bible studies. How about you come on Sunday morning for Sunday school? This is a Bible study right now. It's what we're doing right now. But they won't come for Sunday school, but they want that Bible study that's not on Wednesday. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? Brother, they, boy, sure you guys get a Bible study on Tuesday. Why are you going to show up for Sunday morning? I'll start the Bible study, and I'll be the only one there. See, you understand this. When you serve God, you need to understand when you go in, you're serving God, not me. You're serving God, not the preacher. You're serving God, not the people. You're serving God. That's who you're serving. So you need to plow and hope that God's going to take care of you. Go back to the first verse of this chapter. As you look in this, and Paul is making some statements here. In verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Here's what's awesome. You know when you got saved, it was a choice you made. I hope you know that. Salvation was a choice you made. Did God know you were going to get saved? Sure. Absolutely. He knew you were going to. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows everybody's going to get saved. That doesn't mean you jump on board with John Calvin and don't witness to anybody anymore. That's our job to witness to everybody. Okay? Now, understand this. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Along with your salvation also comes the ability to choose to serve Him. Amen? Whether you serve Him or not is a choice. Everything you do as a Christian is a choice. You are free to choose. That's why God did not set works as a way of salvation. Because everybody would fulfill the works and never fulfill the faith. You've got the faith, and this is why it's so hard to get people to serve, because you know you're in the lifeboat of salvation. You got saved, praise the Lord. And if you never did another thing the rest of your life, you're still saved. But what we miss is the choice is very simple. I use this all the time when I talk to people about getting saved. I use this especially at the jail, which we were in the jail. If Brother Tom's life was threatened, and I said, I will be the man that takes the place of Tom getting shot with that gun. I'll be the man. I will die in his stead. Now you would say right off the bat, oh man, what a wonderful gesture that was, that I was willing to die for him. And on his behalf, he would say, man, I'm going to make sure I take care of his family. I'm going to make sure that because I'm living because he died. In the worldly thought, you'd say, man, now I'm willing to give my life for somebody. Amen? But a war buddy, oh man, a war buddy, and I'm going to make sure that I remember him and hold him up, and I'm going to make sure his family is taken care of. And I've heard people say those very type of things where somebody died for them on this world. But let me explain something to you, folks. Jesus Christ did that and more.
Amen.
He died for you on the cross to give you an eternity. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, I could go forever about what he's done for us since then. But if nothing else, if he just died for you and did nothing else till you could have eternity, what do we owe him? What do we owe him? You say, well, Brother Dave, I'm sick and tired of you talking about service. I do things for the Lord. Let me explain something to you. Can we ever do enough?
No.
Can we ever do enough? If I died for Brother Coolidge, I would never cease to be on his mind. Amen? Right? You think of that day and you see it over and over and over. You see it, that somebody gave their life for you to live in this world. And this world is temporary. This world is something that you're only going to be in for a short time. But if somebody were to die for you here, you would think more of that person than we do of the Lord that provides an eternity for us. See, we need to change our thought processes to think about what can we do for God? What can we do for him? Because of him doing so much for us. We're free to make that choice. We're free to do those things. We are allowed to not, which is amazing to me. You're allowed to not serve God. You can still be saved and never serve God a day in your life. How good is God? How good is he? There are people that are going to go to heaven that wish they would have served him. Wish that they would have served him. I guarantee I'll be one of those that wish I would have served him more. Listen to this now. Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? We could stop working. We have the power to not work. Listen, many people exercise their power to stay home this morning. Many people have exercised their power to not come this morning for church. Many people have exercised their power to not serve the Lord. And this is amazing to me. God does not strong arm anybody. Did you get strong armed to come here this morning?
No.
Did God pick you up by the nape of your neck and throw you in your car and say you're going to church?
No.
No. What you did this morning was a choice. It was a choice for you to come and be in a place that you're going to hear about that Lord that did so very much for you. That's the choice you made. You say, well, I'm just sitting in a pew right now. You're still serving the Lord right now.
Yes.
Now, you may be serving the Lord at its very basis. Very basis. Coming in a place and sitting down is probably the least amount of work that you can do for the Lord. But it is still work, nevertheless. And the Lord allows you to make that choice. You can roll over in bed in the morning and hit that alarm and just say, you know what, I am just not going to come. And the Lord allows you to do that. He allows you to make that choice. And think about this for a moment. I just want to... Paul makes a statement here. Do we not have the right to forbear working? And you can say to Paul, you do have the power to do that. You do have the power. Can I ask you a question? What happens if Paul does? Huh? What happens if Paul stops letting the Lord use him? Come on, think with me just a little. And you say, well, I'm not Paul. Yes, some of you are a lot better than Paul. Now, wait a minute, brother. You're talking about the greatest missionary to ever walk the face of the earth, say Jesus Christ.
Right. That's right.
How did Paul get a start? His name was Saul.
Right.
Huh? says, if you have, I'd like to talk to you after church. Your start is not as bad as Paul's was. But the Lord saved Paul. And this is what Paul knew. Paul knew when the Lord saved him that he had a whole lot of making up to do. Paul knew that the life that he lived before, and he made statements like this over and over and over again throughout his writings. Oh, my soul, I am so least. I am the cheapest of sinners. I am a person that persecuted the church. He didn't persecute criminals. He persecuted Christians.
Yes.
And did God use him?
Yes.
Now, if you put it like that, that's putting it black and white. See, we go into this life, and I'm not saying that you're better than Paul. What I'm saying is this: God is good to all of us. And if God can do that with Paul, what could he do with you?
Yes.
Amen? You have power to forbear working. I'm sure glad Paul didn't forbear working. I'm sure glad Paul kept working. I'm sure glad Paul took the word of God to the Gentiles. Why? I are one. I'm sure glad that Paul made sure that he got out and started churches. I sure am glad that Paul decided at the end of his days. Here's a thought. I thought about this. What if Paul would have never been Saul? What if Paul would have been Paul all of his days? Think about that. What could Paul have done then? I believe that's why Paul wanted to work so hard for the Lord. Because I believe he felt like he wasted some years. I believe Paul came to the realization that he owed God.
Yes.
You know what? I've come to that realization.
We're all debtors. Yep.
Now, let's continue on. Verse 7, who goeth a warfare any time in his own charges? I get this a lot. Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Let me ask you a question. When has God ever not taken care of you?
Right.
I could serve God, but it would cost me too much. Good example is buses. Buses cost the church a fortune.
Amen.
But who pays the bills?
Yep, that's right.
Huh?
Right.
Who pays the bill? You say, well, we do. Really? I bet you the church goes on without your money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and I want you to give. I just, man, I believe with all my heart that it's time to talk about giving.
Yes.
I believe that with all my heart. I really do.
Yes.
I really do. Some of the happiest times in my life are the times that I wrestle with him and who gave the most. And I know it's dumb. I understand that's completely fleshly. But if I've got, and usually he way outgives me, but I bring it over and see what he's got. I say, I got you. It makes him mad. He'll put in extra money just to be over top. But, let me help you.
We are to be hilarious givers.
Who pays the bills? You might say, well, wait a minute, I want to work for all that money. Who gave you the job?
Right.
Wait, hop these lights are on because I give my money. No, these lights are on because God pays the bills.
Yes.
Right.
He uses every single one of us in here to pay the bills. How do we pay for the buses and all the mechanical work? Well, Danny donates everything, and Jim donates our time. Thank God. I mean, how does all that get paid? God pays the bills. Should the ministry stop because the money does?
No.
Should your ministry stop because the money does?
No.
If you go into your ministry, and I don't care what it is, you say, well, I don't have a ministry, I'm not a preacher. Never said you had to be a preacher to have a ministry.
Right.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Your ministry could be showing up and cleaning up a piece of trash or whatever it would be.
That's right.
Amazing to me is we think that we're not going to do anything because it doesn't pay well. Your earthly benefit may not be that great, but I can't wait to see what he's got in store for me in heaven.
Yeah. There you go. That'll work.
Why should we serve God? Who pays the bills? I can't serve God. It might take time out of my overtime. I accepted the overtime. I think you ought to work. Don't, please, don't lay this at my feet. Well, if I don't work, my kids don't eat. Your kids eat because God feeds you.
Amen.
Get so sick and tired of that. I've got to work 100 hours. Don't compare hours with me. Let me explain something to you. God takes care of you. And if you'll look throughout all your years, the problem is we don't give that faith. We don't give that joy. We don't give that thankfulness to God. We put it all on ourselves to make sure we're taken care of. And it may not be the richest life. It may not be that you live in a mansion here. It may not be that you drive the nicest car. It may not be that you have all the things that the world says is great. But you will be taken care of. God will feed you. God will take care of you. That serve Him and do what God wants you to do.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't believe I've got any trouble filling out my waistline. God takes care of you. And I'm going to tell you, when Paul says, who goes to warfare on their own charges? Soldiers don't ever pay their own way.
That's true.
God's not going to make you pay your own way to serve Him. You say, well, that's a lie. I got you right there, preacher. Here it is. I got you. Last time we had an activity, you had us bring food to it. I brought my own food. The next time, eat your own food.
That's right.
I remember church bringing chicken. I remember church cooking hamburgers.
That's right.
God took care of you. Let me rewind that even further. Eat your own food. And then say that you brought your own, stingy. Your food wasn't that good anyway. You probably brought meatloaf. Wait, hold on now. First, let's just break it down simple talk. Who made the food? Who made the ingredients? Who gave you the money?
Right.
You said, who gave you the ability? Who planted you in America?
Yeah.
And I know this. You may think this is stupid and silly, but you must understand something. By Him, all things consist.
Yeah.
God pays the bills.
Right. Yes.
Now you can look at my life. I'll give you my life as an example. I'm thankful God takes care of us. I'm thankful God takes care of us. But God didn't make some of the bills that I made. I made the bills. And if I wouldn't have made the bills, then I say, stay away from credit cards.
Yep.
I'll say that to everybody.
Yes. Yep.
Credit cards are evil and wicked. You said, oh, they are not, preacher. Oh, that's horrible. They are not. Oh, yes, they are.
Yep.
And why are they evil and wicked? Because I can't control myself. That's why. I'm moving those up and down. Wait a minute. Would God have paid that bill? See, we get in a hurry. I fear for my generation. I'll tell you why. My generation can't wait to have a $200,000 home. My generation cannot wait. The things that you've worked for all your life, Brother Myers talked to me, how it took them all these years to get their house exactly the way they wanted it. They finally finished it up. That's the smile she's had on her face. They finally finished it up, and it's been, oh man, it's been a long time coming. Praise the Lord. Oh man, and I tell you, don't ask my wife about our house, but it still is not done. It probably never will be. And I'm going to tell you, man, it's been a long time coming. But my generation wants it done now. My generation was 25 years old to have a $300,000 house.
Yeah.
Drive a Maserati.
Yeah.
We want everything now. Microwave society. Now, 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 now. We don't allow God to pay the bill. Because God wouldn't pay that bill. God, He's got one waiting on you up in heaven.
That's right.
I'm not against having a nice home. Don't misread me. I'm not against it. But my question is this. Do we allow God to give us what we get, or do we go after it ourselves and then not let God do it? See, if you serve the Lord and you do what God has asked you to do, God will take care of you. But it's usually not, this is so good, don't turn me off. But it's usually not to our standards. It got quiet there. See, God takes care of us, but it's usually not up to our standards. We want something more. Can you imagine more than what God has? It's not right, God. I work harder than anybody I know. I should have a better place. I should have a bigger place. Don't worry. He's building you one.
That's right.
See, would you trade 70, 80, 90, 100 years? Would you trade 100 years in a mansion here for the eternal one you have waiting on you? I wouldn't give you anything for what I've got waiting on me.
Yeah.
God will pay the bills. See, why do we think, well, bless God. Look at these verses. Let's rewind again. Verse 7, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Those next two statements are talking about you gleaning from what you've put in.
Right.
Now, how's that possible? I don't understand it. It's amazing. I've experienced this. It's wonderful. You put time in at the church. You put time in for the Lord. It's amazing to see the Lord take care of you through what you just did for the Lord. He's taking care of me. I didn't always rely on Him to take care of me all the time. But I've gotten to a point in my life where I know that I can't pay the bill. Can't do it. You can try to do it. It's amazing how crazy we get trying to do it. Trying to pay our bill. Trying to take care of the things that are needful for us while we're here. I've seen God, though, in the midst. I'll give you that example. Doing funerals. It's crazy how many times I'll go to do a funeral and I'll need money for something. I'll do a funeral and get way more than I ever should get for a funeral. And God takes care of the bill.
Yes.
When Robbie Morrison came through, and don't, please don't take this as a horn tooter. I don't care anything about it. Just using this as an example. The Lord put a number on my heart of what I should put in for the mission for missions. So I wrote a different one on the card. One that was less than the number that the Lord put on my heart. I wrote on the card, and I almost put the card in. Almost. But I didn't. Well, I held on to it for whatever reason. The plate came around and put the card. I take the card out of my pocket. I look at it and say, oh, I forgot to put that in. And I almost, God, you didn't want me to put this in, did you? That's the wrong number. There's no way I'll be able to afford the number that you put on my heart, Lord. There's no way I can do it. That night, Brother Morrison preached, God takes care of the bill. All right. Please don't take this as I'm bragging to you. I don't care anything about this kind of stuff. So I put the number on that the Lord told me. I put the card in. This is no joke. Ever since that day, the Lord has not stopped to not only pay the bill, but to give me more than I ever needed.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
More than I ever needed. Now, wait a minute. He didn't just send out a bag of money. That's one thing I really detest. I detest a person who's not willing to work for their money. That's what's got us into this predicament here in this country.
Right.
Nobody wants to work anymore.
Right.
The Lord gives me opportunities to serve Him that take care of the bill.
That's right.
And I believe that as long as I continue to serve Him and watch for the opportunities and take the opportunities that come, He will provide for that bill that He made.
Yep.
He made the bill. He told me the number. So if He's making the bill, He's going to be relegated to pay it. And He's paid it ever since. Every week, not failing to give me enough money and more to pay the number that He put on my heart to put in here. By the way, not the number for my tithe, the number for our missions,
right,
which is above the tithe.
Amen.
Right.
And I put that in every single week, and I don't stop because I'm scared to death. If I stop now, He'll stop giving it to me.
Amen.
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 Because it's not just, He's not just paying the mission, He's giving me a little extra too. I like a little extra too, amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, now you're just putting money in, and you're just putting that in so you get stuff back. Whatever. like you would.
Amen.
If I gave you a 20 every time you gave me a 10, you wouldn't cease to be at my doorstep. Tell me that's not true. You give me a 10 and you switch it out all the time. You preach, you never leave me. You would be my new coach. So do you think I'm going to stop doing what the Lord has told me to do? No way. The problem is we don't do what the Lord tells us to do, and that's why he leaves us off sometimes. Should we not eat of our own vineyard? Should we not have the joys and pleasure of Bethel Baptist Church? And by the way, being here is a joy, a pleasure, a privilege.
That's right.
This is a wonderful church. Yeah. You could be somewhere else getting taught lies. You could be somewhere else where the preacher's not as good. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about all the preachers. You could be somewhere where it's not great. But let me tell you, you put your service here. You put your stock here. And because of that, you get all the joy and all the gleanings that come from this wonderful work.
Amen. Amen.
We look at church as a drudgery. Church is wonderful.
Yes.
Where else can you be where there's no stress?
Amen. Amen.
Huh? No stress being here. I'm not coming down grabbing you and shaking you, although sometimes I like to. Verse 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? He's not coming to you here. Paul is not coming to you here saying these things as a man trying to get something from you. Whether you serve the Lord or not, I'm not coming to your house. I'm not going to grab a hold of you and say, you need to serve God. But look at what this verse says. Saith not the law the same also? Doesn't your Bible tell you that you ought to serve God?
Yes.
Doesn't your Bible tell you that you ought to work for Him? Do what you can. It may not be the same as somebody else can do. And you may not be able to do the same things or produce the same things, but that's what God wants. That's His plan. We're all different. Praise the Lord. So God plugs you in somewhere where you can be. The problem is, we don't want what He gives us sometimes to do. We want what somebody else is doing. That's where a lot of associate pastors mess up. Because they want his chair. I want to sit right here. I want to sit in the preacher's chair. Good Lord, I should be in the preacher's chair. You don't want the preacher's chair. The Lord didn't make me a pastor. Not right now. The Lord made me an associate pastor. So what should I do? Should I go ahead and hunt around and go ahead and look for ways that I can get myself into a pastor, or should I just do what God has asked me to do? Mm-hmm. I think He's got me working. I don't think I need to look for more work.
Amen.
See, what you got to understand is this. What did God give you? God gave you Hattie Marlin. He didn't give me Hattie Marlin. I can't go to that place. I cry when I go there. It's too hard for me.
Yeah.
It's too hard for me. I see those children, it makes me want to weep. And I just look at them and it makes me think that they're in jail. Not that Hattie's in jail. The people are in jail, their bodies. And that's what I see. But I've got a man here that cares and loves them, and that's their ministry. God gave the ministry to you. Don't look elsewhere. Do what He's given you.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
See, it's amazing to me that we get the opportunity to serve, but we don't like what He's given us. Don't be surprised if He takes away even that which He has gave.
Yes.
Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Sure He does. I'm glad He does, because I like to eat them. Or saith He it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope.
Yes.
And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. You serve God because you've got hope that He's going to take care of you. You've got hope that you've got a future with Him. You've got hope that you have a place to be. You've got hope that you've got a job. You've got hope that he's going to prepare an eternity for you. You've got a hope that he's prepared a mansion for you. Not a room, a mansion that he's prepared for you. You've got hope that you've got a ministry. You've got hope that you've got a place you can help. You've got hope that he's got the ability to take care of you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
And the rest of your eternal life. Why should we serve the Lord? Because he's paying the bills.
Amen.
Glory to God. He's taking care of me all these years. Giving me everything I've ever wanted. And it will so much more. But it becomes this when you serve him, and I'm all done. You stop wanting the payment. And you start wanting the work. Crazy. You think that payday, everybody knows what payday is. Man, my text in the bank, 6:15 a.m., you know what it is.
Yep.
Turns out different. Because you start seeing lives change because of you. You start seeing lives change because of you. Carl McDaniel has changed my life by being here. That's a work that he, that's a ministry that he has done. Because I see that you can serve God until you're apprehended. You can serve God through being great. You can serve God even after your wife dies. You can serve God and be faithful through all those things. You can still serve God. And I watch this man and look at him. This is his ministry. This is his work. And he starts wanting the work more than he wants the payment. Why? Because we get to enjoy the payment for all eternity.
Yes.
Believe me, you start serving the Lord, you'll start understanding that giving is not just money. Giving is of you, your time, your work, your efforts, and he will take care of you. He pays the bills. So let me tell you, plow and hope. If you're going to plow and hope. Hope because the Lord is going to take care of you as you serve him. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this series on service, Lord, and I there's never enough that we can do. Lord, thank you. You're so good all the time. Not only do you take care of us and pay our bills, you put up with us. Lord, so many times I fail you. So many times I don't do what you've asked me to do. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Lord, thank you for staying with me. Thank you for constantly showing me your mercy. Thank you for constantly showing me your grace. Thank you for putting me in a place where I can work and serve you. Lord, let me be more about your business than ever before. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach in this campus next week. God, I don't take it lightly. I'm real nervous about it. I need you. I'm going to be preaching to our future. I'm going to be preaching to teenagers. Lord, I need you. Oh, God, don't let me say anything I'm not supposed to say. But let me say everything that you want me to say. Lord God, please be with us. Be with Bethel Baptist Church. Anoint my pastor. He's preaching this morning. Anoint my pastor. Anoint the baptisms that are coming, Lord. I'm so excited about it. Lord, be with us in a special way. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.